All right, so we were talking about acids. Well, we were talking about the pH scale. And remember that pH is defined as the negative base 10 logarithm of the hydrogen ion concentration. And if we have pure water, which auto-ionizes, the amount of auto-ionization is such that the hydrogen ion concentration is 10 to the negative 7th molar, which is why the pH of pure water is 7. And if you have something else other than water in there, it can vary from that. Of course, if the pH is lower, which really corresponds to a higher hydrogen ion concentration because of the negative of the pH definition, then we're going to have an acidic solution. If it's higher than 7, it's going to be basic or alkaline. And pH is one of those really important things that determines, well, it's one of those, one of many things that we defend physiologically or homeostatically in our bodies, meaning we try to keep it within a pretty narrow range, along with temperature is another important example. And both of those things, temperature and pH, if they wander too far, will kill us, largely because of their effect on the conformation of proteins. If you change pH in either direction very far, then that's going to change the shape or conformation of proteins, and proteins lose their function if they lose their shape. You can't live without the function of proteins. But we were looking at slide 14, and I got to 14, but I didn't really describe what's on the slide. I rather told you what I just reviewed right now about the pH scale. Any given acid is an acid because it can lose a proton, right? That's one definition of acids. They are proton donors in solution. And remember I said that monoprotic acids just have a single proton to donate. Diprotic acids can donate one at a time up to two, and triprotic acids up to three, which is why there is just one form, one equilibrium equation right here for a monoprotic acid, two for diprotic acids, and so on. The pKa value for any given acid is the pH at which dissociation of that acid is exactly one half. By that I mean any acid exists in its acid form, which is the protonated form. It's still hanging on to that proton that it's able to give up. But when it gives up that proton, what's left over is called the conjugate base. Remember this from chemistry? So you have an acid conjugate base pair. Those are the two sides of these reversible reactions shown here. So for acetic acid, the acid version is on the left. The conjugate base version, which is missing that extra proton on the OH group, that's the conjugate base. At any given pH, there's going to be a certain fraction of the total amount of molecules that are in the protonated form, and a certain rest of the whole is going to be in the deprotonated form, or the conjugate base form. Well, at the pH that equals pKa, and that pKa value depends on the acid we're talking about, that means exactly half of the population of the molecules are in the protonated form and the other half are in the deprotonated form. The concentration of the acid form is the same as the concentration of the conjugate base form. Okay? And where that pKa value is, like I said, depends on the acid. And that's why you have these reactions shown at different positions on this graph, because the horizontal axis here is pH. This second one, or actually it's the third one if you think of these as rows, this diprotic acid that's used as an example, carbonic acid, this is one that's particularly important in your own physiology because it's part of an important buffering system. Damn it. I didn't bring any. You're going to have to listen to me. And I'm going to virtually write on the board. I can kind of use this. When water and carbon dioxide come together, so H2O plus CO2, which happens in your body fluids, right? Because cells are producing CO2 as a byproduct of cellular respiration, right? So CO2 and water combine in a reversible reaction. So you'd have H2O plus CO2, double arrow. They combine to form carbonic acid, H2CO3, which is this. And then carbonic acid, being an acid, can dissociate. If it dissociates, it dissociates into bicarbonate ion, HCO3 minus, and that proton that's now on its own, it's in solution, adding to the acidity of the solution. Okay, so there's really a double reversible reaction here that you should write that is working as your buffering system in your blood. This really is behind why you can only hold your breath so long, for instance. If you hold your breath, obviously there's a limit to which you can do that, and your body forces you to breathe eventually. It's not really because you're running out of oxygen. You still have plenty of oxygen being carried around in your blood at that point. But you're not blowing off any of the CO2 that has been delivered to that blood from the cells. So the blood is accumulating CO2, which reacts with the water to form carbonic acid, which then divides into bicarbonate ions and hydrogen ions. The hydrogen ions acidify the blood. And the base of the brain is exquisitely sensitive to just a tiny decrease in pH, which is what would be a decrease in pH when you're acidifying the blood, right? And so that's really what forces you to breathe so that you blow off that CO2. Well, remember Le Chatelier's principle? If you are taking CO2 off of this left side, that means it's going to force everything to the left. It's going to take these protons back up out of solution to form carbonic acid, which will then split into water and CO2 to replace the CO2 that you just blew off. And therefore, it'll restore the pH to where it is. So breathing doesn't just get you oxygen for your cells for cellular respiration. It also adjusts the pH of your blood. There's only a couple more slides in this chapter. Slide 15 demonstrates the utility of a chemical buffer is really just a combination of a weak acid and its conjugate base. What's the difference between weak and strong acids? Why do we call a strong acid strong? Right, because it completely dissociates in solution. So there's effectively no acid form left once you add it to water. There's just hydrogen ions and the conjugate base in solution. A weak acid only partially dissociates, not meaning an individual molecule partially loses its proton. Partial dissociation means that only a fraction of the total population of those molecules lose their hydrogen ion and the rest retain it. So you have some combination of acid form and conjugate base form. And if you happen to be at the pH that is equal to pKa for that particular acid conjugate base pair, then you're going to have an exactly 1-to-1 ratio of acid to conjugate base concentrations, right? That's what's illustrated right here in the middle at the arrows. For this particular buffering system, meaning the combination of the acid and the conjugate base, which this is acetic acid, that's the pH at which that particular buffering system works best, because when you're exactly at a 1-to-1 ratio, changing that ratio by turning some of that base into acid or some of that acid into base is not going to make a very big mathematical difference to what the fraction or the ratio equals, compared to if there's a drastic difference to start with. So a buffer works by, well, a buffer is defined as something that minimizes the effect, the change in pH of a solution when that solution gets acid or base added to it. So without the buffer, the pH change would be very drastic. In other words, with the buffer, it's not as drastic, but there still is a change. But chemically, it works because the buffering system, that combination of weak acid and conjugate base, will either accept a proton, the conjugate base will accept a proton to turn back into the acid form when you add some other acid to the solution, or just the opposite happens if you add a base, right? You're just transforming the buffer from either the conjugate base form to the acid form or vice versa, and therefore you're not really you're not allowing those hydrogen ions to affect the pH of the overall solution. And that's really important physiologically, because common reactions that occur as part of metabolism in an unbuffered system would perturb or drastically change the pH and therefore change the shape of your proteins and therefore shut you down, turn you into dead. In the final slide, I think it's the final slide, 16, we just see how drastic the effect of a buffering system can be. The magenta trace is the change in pH when acid, some other kind of acid other than the buffer, is added to the solution, just a drop at a time. Notice that in this gray range, you're adding acid all the time, but it's not changing the pH very much. It's going lower, as it should, for the addition of an acid, but it's not going low nearly as steeply as it would for just an unbuffered solution, pure water that you're adding acid to, which is shown in the blue. Yes, that was it. So that's a short recording one.